Good morning. We're going to be in Psalm 111. Psalm 111, although I wasn't here a couple of Sundays ago, Bart taught a little bit from this psalm. Used Psalm 111, 112, and 113 in one of his night lessons. So you may remember that a little bit, but we're going to be in Psalm 111. In 11. The Warrens, of course, are in Denver visiting with family, and so you get the wonderful pleasure of a little bit of Wagner this morning. And if you're normally in his class on Sunday mornings, you get a double dose of me, and I hope that it goes over well for you. But don't worry, we will have a guest speaker tonight, Dorian Flynn. And I will tell you, I am looking as forward to that as you are, I assure you. Dorian is a fantastic speaker. He's doing wonderful work in South Africa. And me and Jenny have gotten to know him a little bit. We met him when we were in Tennessee. And he is a very powerful evangelist for the gospel. And so that will be a great experience tonight when he is with us. When preparing for the sermon, I was thinking of what is coming this week, specifically Thanksgiving. And so what I wanted to bring you this morning was a lesson that highlighted just very generally, very briefly, some things that you and I can be thankful for, or the things that we should be thankful for above all else. I don't know if your family does this, but I remember one time, very awkwardly, my family did this on Thanksgiving. We were together, and before we ate, which is what everybody wanted to do, eat and watch football, that's it. You know, we had to go around the table and say what we were thankful for. I was just a kid, I don't know how old I was, but I did not like that at all. Because everybody wants to be unique, they want to be clever, they even want to be funny, you know? And so I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world am I going to say? I don't know what I'm thankful for. Action figures? I'm just a kid. And they wanted to start with me, and I insisted, no, let's go around the table. I was last, thinking I'd come up with something by then. I don't know. You know, everybody goes around, I'm thankful for my children, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful for my job, whatever it may be. And I ended up just saying I'm thankful for football, and I was. I just wanted to watch football. Although, like you, I probably wonder why the Lions get to play every Thursday or every Thanksgiving. I hate that. I don't care for the Lions. Anyway, Thanksgiving. Thinking about what we're thankful for. I've matured a little bit since then, I hope. And I like to think about that. What am I thankful for when it comes to not just life in general, but when it comes specifically to God? And so we turn our attention to Psalm 111. I want to look at verse 2 again specifically. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Great are God's works, studied by those who delight in them. In the psalm, the psalmist is talking about Israel's history, about the things that God has done for Israel to redeem them, to save them, to bring them out of exile, to give them a covenant. All of these laws designed, of course we know now that it was an imperfect system, but all of these laws designed to bring them safety, comfort, spiritual blessings, forgiveness, everything. And so the psalmist is reflecting on that, and he's very thankful that he's a part of that. But in this lesson, I want to take that second verse and I want to direct our attention to some of the other major great works that God has done as we anticipate this upcoming holiday of Thanksgiving. And so what are you thankful for? Well, how about the amazing things that God has done, starting first of all with His creation? The works of the Lord are great. Genesis 1:1 says that God created the heavens and the earth. So as a direct result of His power and His wisdom, they declare His glory. His handiwork, His power, His deity, His awesomeness. We could look at Psalm 19. We can look at Romans 1:20. This is how the New Testament writers approach just looking at the world around us. It is amazing the things that it tells us about Him. And so have you taken a moment to study them? Have you taken that moment to look at them like David, to contemplate their beauty, their design, their implications. David said in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" David can't believe what he sees. And he's trying to reason things out in his mind. He's trying to figure it out. All of this great stuff. And now we know by modern science that the universe is much larger than David probably ever thought it was. You and I are just a small dot in the vastness of space. Of all the things that God has created, you and I are really at the center of his attention and his focus. That's what David wanted to know when he looked at all of that. Because we look out at the stars, don't we? We look out at the moon and we just marvel. And we marvel at the ability of mankind to go explore. And yet God is concerned with us. That's one of the implications. Viewing a starry night, an illustrious sunset, the blossoming of a single flower. These things are amazing, aren't they? Should we not be thankful for the world that is around us? That it tells us a little bit about God, how amazing He is. Studying God's creation can be very, very enlightening and full of pleasure. But let's turn our attention to this next one that tells us a little bit more about who He is. Are you thankful for God's Word? We're thankful for His creation, yes, but are we thankful for His Word because the works of the Lord are great? David in the Old Testament praises the law. Look at Psalm 19. I want to read verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them, there is great reward." Now, as great as this passage is in reference to the old law, today you and I have something even greater than that. We have the Word of Jesus. One simple passage, John 6:63, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Jesus bringing to us something that the old law could never do. Perfect relationship, true blessings that will last. And so have you studied them? Have you thought about the Word and what it means to us? Do you delight in them? Like the blessed man of Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Are you like that man? Are you thankful for what God has provided in this way? Are you thankful for the comfort and hope and guidance that the Word brings? I appreciate Robbie leading that song this morning about the Bible. What is the Bible? What does it mean to us? Are you thankful for it? I encourage you to think about that. And thank God this week for the revelation He has given to us. Because studying God's Word is a source of comfort and great pleasure and thanksgiving. And this is especially true when you and I dig a little bit deeper and we learn about, in the Word, thirdly, His salvation. We're thankful for His creation, we're thankful for His Word, but we need to be especially thankful for His salvation. Because the works of the Lord are great. The salvation of mankind as made possible only by His love. Not because you and I did something, not because we deserve it, but because God chose to give it to us. John 3:16. Titus 3, 4 through 7, "When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Look at what salvation has brought to us. Have you taken the time to study it? To look into it, to reflect on it? Have we aided our study of God's salvation with passages like Romans chapter 6, wherein we find the greatest description, in my judgment, of immersion in the New Testament? Paul telling us why it's necessary, why it's important, specifically that you and I are buried with Jesus by it and that we are raised to a new life through it. Have we reflected on the consequences of amazing truths like we find in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, Paul asks a series of questions about salvation. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? No one. Who is to condemn? No one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one. God's salvation is so sure, so encompassing, that nothing that can happen in this world other than your decision to leave Him, nothing could take you from His love. Nothing could take you from His salvation. Have you thought about that? Is that not worth giving thanks for? Studying God's salvation brings you and I great comfort to our souls. And it should cause us to respond in exuberant thanksgiving. Then we have God's work involving, fourthly, the church. Talking about the church, the works of the Lord are great. We're told in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that the church is built by Jesus, purchased specifically, Acts 20, verse 28, with His blood. So He gave of Himself so that you and I could be a part of something truly magnificent, the church. Described by Paul in Colossians 1:13 as the kingdom, as the bride in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, as the temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Have you taken the time to sit there and study that, to reflect on it? Have you opened up your Bibles and have you dove into magnificent books like Acts that tells us about its spread, how it exploded, how it just took the world over? Have you opened up Ephesians, one of the greatest letters in the New Testament about the church and what it means to be in the church and the blessings that you and I have in the church? Or what about Colossians, which is very similar to Ephesians in that respect? Have you opened up those letters? Have you studied it? Have you taken the time to understand the things that Paul has written? Have you spent time learning about her origin, about her spread, about her nature, about her work? Have you reveled in her simplicity in contrast to the denominationalism of this world? The church is a glorious thing that you and I are a part of. So simple, so beautiful. Something to be very thankful for. Studying about God's church as revealed in the New Testament can be very refreshing and something that can lead us to thanks. The last thing I want to look at you with you this morning is the great work of God's promises. God promising to us amazing things. The works of the Lord are great. I want to read two sort of longer passages with you. The first one comes in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 15. You and I can look forward to the resurrection of the dead. Death has no power over us. Now, like you, I've been scared of death from time to time. I know what that's like. But as a Christian, there's no reason to be scared. Look at what Paul says in this passage, 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. Behold, I tell you a mystery. And I'm sort of going to skip a little bit. Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall be changed. Look at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, this mortal body must put on the immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable, the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Look at verse 57. Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see Paul reflecting on this amazing truth that you and I can look forward to this grand promise of God. That one of the first things you and I should say in response to that is, thank God for that. Let's look at another one. We can look forward to the new heavens and the new earth. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. John, being privileged to get to see what it is like and get to experience what it is like to stand in the throne room of God. And God encouraging him to write it down, saying, I'm going to show you something amazing. You write it down. And this is one of the things that he's written. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Look at verse 2. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. What I find magnificent here in verse 3 is that this dwelling place, it's not so much that you and I are going there, and certainly we are. But God has created this place for us to dwell so that he can dwell with us. Isn't that marvelous? We're not just going into his house. He's prepared a place that he's going to join us in. And he will dwell with us there. And so, thinking about these promises, have you studied them? Have you thought about them? Have you pondered how God is going to raise the dead? Have you pondered in your mind just trying to view what that event is going to be like and the amazing things that are going to take place, bringing people out of the grave and restoring them to eternal life? Do you look forward to the new heavens and the new earth? Trying to picture with the most creative imagination you can the things that John has described in the book of Revelation. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. In fact, I only read the first four verses. That's just the tip of the iceberg. John will go on to describe the different kind of stones that are there, the different materials, how big it is, how glorious it is. Of course, using imagery and phrases that you and I are familiar with. Have you taken a moment to try to picture that? In essence, have you given thanks for what Peter describes as God's precious and very great promises in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4? And so this week, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. I don't know if you're going to go around the table or not. I sort of hope I don't have to do that, but we're going over to some friend's house, and if they choose to do that, I will do that. I will be thankful for that they invited me over. But I hope you and I, thinking about all the things we can be thankful for in this world, that we will seriously think about the things that God has done. God has given us great things, hasn't he? I mean, we've only considered a few of them. Of course, these are some major ones. We've looked at his creation a little bit. We looked at his word. We looked at his salvation. We looked at his church. We looked at his promises. And so if you have not done so yet, study these great works of the Lord. Reflect on the beauty that comes from God's creation. Read and meditate on God's revelation, his word. And above all else, be thankful for what God has done. As you do so, you will find, I think, great pleasure both now and in the air hereafter, starting in this moment, where I'm going to invite you to come forward. If you will but obey for the first time, you will put Jesus on and submission through immersion. or you can repent, ask for prayers of the congregation. Either way, I hope as we leave today that you and I will be thankful together as we stand and as we sing.